My name is Jane Wangari. I am a counselor. I am a community developer. I am a language instructor. I am an author, and I am also a motivational speaker. I'm going to talk about about immigration and immigrants and people living in diaspora here in North America and any other communities living in the Western world who have come from the third world. There's a number of topics that I want to talk about, and I want us to think about what brought us to these countries, and where we think we are going. So today I'm going to talk about probably what brought us here. Now, when I look at the categories of immigration in Canada, we have quite a number of them. There are those who come to Canada as economic immigrants. So they come here, they have more than $200,000 that they want to come and spend here. So they apply to come to Canada and they get a permanent residency. Here they call it PR. They get a permanent residency to come and live in Canada and invest. Investing, spend their money here, start a business, and the like. There's also another category of immigrants who are skilled workers or skilled immigrants. Now, this skilled workers category, usually the Canadian government wants somebody who has at least one degree and mostly 2 degrees, at least a master's degree with 2 years experience working in their field of specialization. So you have lived in your country, you have a master's degree, and you have worked in your field of specialization using that degree for at least 2 years. So again, this group of people get admitted into Canada and they become permanent residents, and they can live here and use their knowledge and expertise in this country. We also have a category of people who are refugees that come here, and these are really people that are identified by the government, by UNHCR, out of the country. And once they are identified by UNHCR, the Canadian government know which kind of people they are looking for, so they will go and pick out the ones that they want to resettle in Canada, or they actually work with the people on the field to decide which people they want to come and resettle in Canada. And usually they have a criteria for selecting those people. So these people may be in refugee camps, and they're usually transferred into major cities, and they're given some allowance to live there. And you will see them, for example, if it is Kenya, they would be living in Westlands, would be living in good houses, and because they have money that is sent to them, that is given to them for the period of time when they are waiting to be resettled. And this group is actually called, once they have been identified and they move to the bigger cities waiting, they are known as conventional refugees. So they're just waiting to be resettled, and they can live in that country for up to 2 years before they are resettled into the countries that they have been sent to. But there are also people who come directly from the refugee camps. These are, a lot of times they are women, expectant or pregnant women, or families that are at high risk within the camp. So they could be men or women that are brought right from the camp. Then we also have the another group of refugees who actually come into the country. They find their way into North America, into Europe, or Australia, and then they say, "I'm a refugee. I want protection. I want to stay here." So those are refugee claimants. And once they make their claim and it is accepted, they actually settled and assisted to settle in the country. Then last but not least, we have a group of immigrants that are known as family. So in Canada, we have family reunification, where if one family member comes to Canada and settles here, so they become permanent residents, they can bring their immediate family to join them. So, you know, if a man comes here and let's say, for example, they are refugee claimants and they're able to be settled here, and their family, and they were separated from their family, and their family has been left behind, maybe in Congo, in whichever country, maybe they are not able to flee and they're still in their country, or they are in the second country in a refugee camp, or not in a refugee camp, but they are somewhere else. Now the government of Canada will allow that person, the man, to actually sponsor his family and bring them here. And that is called family reunification. I think we have that in the US too, where people can sponsor family members to join them. Now, so those are the refugee. I mean, that is the immigration that we have, especially in Canada. It's very clear to me because I have a master's degree. I hold a master's degree in settlement and immigration, so I am very well versed in immigration issues. So, anyways, once we come here as immigrants, we do not come at age 18. We do not start from the beginning where other people are starting their lives. So we come here at, if you're a professional, you have your master's degree and you have worked for 2 years, you're most likely in your late 30s. In Kenya, a lot of times, or in most African countries, you do not do your bachelor's degree and go off to your master's degree. If you have employment, you may go and work, and then maybe your employment, if you're working for the government or other government institutions, they will sponsor you to go out either within your country or outside your country to take a master's degree. Which means you don't some years that pass, then you do your master's degree, then you come back and you work, and by the time you think we need to apply to go and live in another country, time has really gone, and you're in your 30s, your late 30s, your early 40s, and some people are actually in their 50s when they come to these countries. So now we come to these countries. What is our goal in this country? A lot of people have said their major goal is actually to help their children. So people say, "I'm here for my children." So you're here, so you have arrived at age 37. At age 37, you have children in the range of 10 years, 8, 7 years. You may even have children that are two years old. You may have a child. If you have gone through professional education, higher education, and you did not have children until you finished school, so your children are actually maximum 12 years old. And if you have more than one child, so you have 12, 10, 8, 7, 8, 9, 8, 6, 7, okay, you have that number, not the number of children, I'm talking about the ages. So you have children in the age of 10, 12, maybe 8, maybe 6, maybe 4, maybe 3, maybe 1. So you're here and your main focus is the children. Now, when you arrive in this country, in these countries, you will not, it is unlikely that you will just come in and find a job right away. So you were a professional, you were doing well in your country, or you were not a professional, but you were doing something in your country and you want to improve your life here. And you're hoping that you will come in, find a job, and start working and start making the mighty dollar. So when you come here, you find that is not the case. And a lot of times people take 1 to 2 years trying to find out how to live, what to do. You know, they say, I have these qualifications, I have done all this in my country, and they hope and believe that they are going to find a job. So in the meantime, the children have to eat, the family has to eat, and the bills have to be paid. So what happens with the family is they take odd jobs, or they take any employment that can come by. At the beginning, you know, maybe you have some money from back home, and you start off well, because you know things are gonna get better. This is America, this is Canada, this is Britain, or you know, the UK. Things are going to, I'm just gonna, you know, in a short time I'll be making a lot of money. Then you find that's not the case. You know, there's no employment, you know, no one is hiring you. And if you're lucky, you are going to work, you're going to do some cleaning job, you're going to work in a factory, or you're going to do the lowest menial job that there is. And when you come to a place where there's no food in your fridge, and you cannot afford to pay for your phone, and you cannot afford to pay for your house, or you're living with friends and family, and the children are starting to fight or not to be comfortable in your new environment, you are like, we need to move out of here. So we need to find a job. We need to, you know, so you take any job that is available. So this is year two. So year three, you're there struggling with that job, and then you're seeing other people doing better, and you're like, this is not what I wanted. What do I do? So in most cases, you will think of going back to school, and people will tell you, oh, I did this, and now I'm working as a nurse. I'm working as an RPN, registered nurse. So I am a registered nurse, I'm an RN, or I am a caregiver. Here we have, in Canada, we have PSW, personal support worker. The course is pretty short. You'll do a very quick short course, and you're going to take care of seniors or people who are old and they cannot take care of themselves, older and they cannot take care of themselves, or you're going to work for people with developmental challenges. So you may work with one child or one person, one grown up, or you may work in a group home where there are 4 or 5 people. Whichever the case, you will find that they pay you better. They pay you much better than the menial job. So you will rush off, take the course, get a better job, which is, you know, working in a nursing home, and that's it. That's your life, you know. And it doesn't matter that you were an engineer. It doesn't matter that you were a director or a manager. It does not matter that you are a trained teacher, you're a trained nurse from back home. It does not matter what you did back home. You know, all that is forgotten, and you have your new career and you have your new life. So now what happens is, when you do this job, you really need to do many hours. A lot of times it's work that you do overnight, you do, you know, all sorts of shifts, evening shifts, day shifts, night shifts. So you have your children, you are here for them, and they are the most important people But you are going to work, which is extremely important for you to do. And your children, there are no maids in this country. There's no one else to take care of your children. So you have to take turns to go to work between you and your spouse. So that you can take care of the children, you can drop them off at school, you can help them with homework. So it becomes very straining. It becomes very, very hard. Now, keeping up with the Jones is a big thing that we have as Africans. So you see mama there, they you know, they came 2 years before you, and they have bought this big house, 4 bedrooms. It's brand new. They have a nice SUV. And you're like, I want that, you know. You remember back home I had a big car, you know. I had a big house, I had a big government house. Or we actually were just about, we built our home. And we're living in our own house, a stone house, our own, that we owned. So, yeah, we need a good house. So there you go, starting to think about a mortgage. And then at the same time, so anyways, you think about a mortgage, you think about a nice car, and you approach the bank, and you talk to friends, and they say, oh, it's very easy in this country, like, they will give you a mortgage. You know, in the meantime, you have received some credit cards, because all the money that you pay, make, both of you, two parents, you are not able to pay everything. So you have a credit card, you need to build your credit rating, so you must get a credit card. So each of you get one credit card, and it's $5,000 in it. There's $5,000 in it, and you can start spending money that you don't have, but you have it because it's in your credit card, and they allow you to spend it. So here you are, and you can actually afford a better set of chairs, seats. You can get some nice looking sofa sets. You can start wearing better clothes, better shoes. You can actually sign up your children for piano lessons, and other, you know, taekwondo, kickboxing, whatever fancy thing that you think your children should learn. So you sign them up, you know, and it's $300 a month. Yeah, I want the best for my child. You know, I never got an opportunity to play the piano or to learn how to play the violin. And here I am in this great country. Honestly, my child deserves that, because she or he deserves the best, and I am here for them. It's not about me, it's about my kids. So you sign them up, and yes, you have to dig into your credit card because your money is not enough. So anyways, down the road, you manage to afford a mortgage. By 5 years, you're, you know, quite well settled. You know your way around. You know a few things about the country. You know quite a number of things, depending on who you hang out with, depending on who you work with. You know that kind of information. So you're settled. You're living in the suburbs. You have 2 cars, one big, almost new one, and another kind of a small, older one. And everything is fine. You can have guests at your house, you know, once in a while. You have a big house, and life is good. Now, in the meantime, you are doing many other things, like sending money home. So whatever the case, everything is fine, but you're getting into debt. You're getting into debt, you're working, your mortgage is fine, but now you need a line of credit because credit cards are not enough, and the line of credit is going to give you a better interest rate and all that kind of stuff. So here you are you know, getting attracted to spending more money. So the thing is, when we are doing this, when we are at this point, what is our plan? What is our aim? What is our goal? What is our goal in this country? You know, it is important that the children grow up. It is a good environment. We don't have thuggery. We don't have corruption here. We don't have a lot of corruption, or it's not open. You don't have to bribe someone for your child to go to a good school. You don't have to, not that I'm aware of, you don't have to see someone to give you a better rate on the bank or on the loan or anything. You really don't have to use people that you know. You definitely will need to speak to someone to find you a good job. It's called networking. But in terms of other things, you're really okay. Like, so many things are available to you. There are so many options. And as long as you're paying your debts, you can get that brand new car. As long as you're paying your minimum, you can get that brand new car. You can get the mortgage. You can do a lot of things. You know, if your child says they want that really nice mountain bike, you can actually buy it for them. If they want a lot of things, anything that they ask for, honestly, they want this game that everyone is playing, you will buy it for them. When they get older and they want this phone, honestly, it's not like back home, you know, when you didn't have money, when you had to take an education loan at the beginning of the year, and you pay it off the rest of the year, so you had no money. No, here you can actually buy some of these things for your kids, and they'll be comfortable, and they'll be happy, and they'll have a TV in their rooms, and you can afford that. So the thing is, the reason I have this program is, are you forgetting yourself? What about you? What are your plans? Do you consider yourself successful at this point? You are 47 years old now. You are 45, you are 47, you are 52. You know, what are your plans? If you were in Kenya, if you were in Uganda, if you were in Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Congo, if you were in any other country, if you were in Ethiopia, you'd be thinking about retirement. You'd be thinking about, what do you have to go back to? What do you have to fall back on? Okay? So at this age, the children are comfortable. They're in high school, and others are actually going to college. And you're making sure they go to university, because that's what you want. That's what your dad wanted for you. That's what your mom wanted. That's what your mother wanted. You know, that is what your father preached to you. University degree, okay? So you are working hard, and the children are working really hard. You're paying for tuition for them so that they can get their grades to go to university. And it's all about the children. But what's going to happen to you after the children go? What is going to happen to you later? So I have this program because I would like us to think about planning for ourselves. So when you reach 47, when you are 48, 49, when you're 50, even when you're 45 years old, we need, including myself, all of us, we need to think about investing in our retirement. in this country, we will retire. In these countries of the Western world, we will retire. If you have a house, a mortgage, you need up to 20 years, maybe some 25, I think 20 years to repay your mortgage. When you took your mortgage at 45, you were going to repay it for 20 years, so you would actually finish paying at 65. But you know, you have not paid much. You are 52. You have not paid much of your house, and the children are getting older, and maybe they don't need that much space. And maybe you don't need to be cleaning all that space. Anyway, that's not even the point. The point is, are you ready? Have you prepared yourself so that, because now after 50, you're actually starting to go downhill, regardless of what people say, in this part of the world, the life expectancy is 80 years for men, coming down to 79 for men and about 82 for women. So even if you're going to be, in fact, if you're going to live to be 80, you need to have an investment, something that will help you not be homeless and not be poor. So what are you doing? Are you investing in retirement? You know, does your job have a retirement program? Do you have your own retirement? In Canada, we call it RRSP, Registered Retirement Saving Program. Do you have an RRSP? Do you have something to leave for your children? So do you know what is going to happen to you when you get to 60? 60 is, you know, people start to retire at 60 years old. People who have some money, people who are doing well, they will retire at 60 years old. Now, if you are not doing very well, if you still have a mortgage to pay, if you have children that you're still taking care of, you may choose not to retire. If you're healthy, you will choose not to retire. Unfortunately, there are people who are not going to be as healthy when they are 60. When they are 60, they're going to have, you know, medical conditions like the old people's conditions. And the doctor might ask you to stop working. The doctor might require you to work part-time. Or you may not be able to work at all. What is going to happen to you? So that is what I want us to think about. I'll be presenting more after, you know, I'm going to have a few sessions. So this is the first session today. If you tune in at the same time next week, we're going to continue with this conversation about what we are doing, what we are thinking in terms of planning, in terms of planning for our future, and it includes planning for the children that we love so much. What are we doing as immigrants? What are we doing as people in diaspora? What are our options? Are we taking advantage of those options? Do we have enough education to be able to make the right choices? Do we have awareness? You know, is there awareness there? When should people start planning for their retirement? When should people start planning for eventualities in our lives? What should we do for our children? You know, back home, we will leave them land, you know, we will leave them an inheritance. Back home, we have a house that, regardless of what it is made of, we have a place to go to when we retire. If we don't want to work anymore, or if we cannot work anymore, we have a house that we can go to. When you're in this country and all your children are in this country, is home the place? Is back home in Africa the place that you want to go? Or do you want to stay in this country and see your grandchildren? If your parents are old and they have passed on, when you're 65, do you, is your family back in your country, or is your family here in the foreign land? So it is really your decision to make. So we are going to continue this conversation. There are many options, but just tune in next time, exactly the same time next week, and we will continue this conversation. Thank you very much for listening to me. The program is In Foreign Lands, and my name is Jane Wangare Karago Odongo. Thank you very much. Nimeshukuru sana. Tutaendelea na haya mazungumzo wiki ijayo wakati kama huu. Asante sana kwa kunisikiliza. Asante. Kwaheri.